any further ado. I have to finish a drop early. I have a bris today. Somebody's picking me up at 9:25. So I have to finish a couple of moments early. Okay, let's go from the Gemara, Daf Yud, Dalad, Omud, Beis. We're being recorded. Now, in order to understand this Gemara, let's look again at the opening Mishnah of the Perek on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. In Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, the first Mishnah in the Perek, the last line of the Mishnah was as follows. Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, Lomo Kodmo Parsha Shema Levahoyo Im Shemoya. There are three parshas of Shema, Levahoyo Im Shemoya, and Vayomer. So the Mishnah says, in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, why does the parsha of Shema come before Vahoyo Im Shemoya? So the Mishnah says, Kedei Sheyekabel Olov Oil Malchus Shemayim Tchilo, so that he should first be Mekabel on himself the oil malchus shomayim, va'achar kach makabel olav oil mitzvahs. You cannot obviously be makabel on yourself mitzvahs before you've declared who's the melech. Otherwise, who's talking? So you first have to be makabel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's malchus on you, and then you're makabel his mitzvahs. Now we know the first parasha is all about malchus, which, by the way, you will have noticed on Rosh Hashanah, this is Mamash in Yonah D'Yayma, on Rosh Hashanah in Musaf, when we said all of the psukim of Malchios in the Musaf Shmona Esra, all of the psukim in them say the word Melech, except for the last of the 10 psukim. It says, "Ubisaros v'kosuv Shema Yisrael Hashem Melekeinu Hashem Echad." Now, where does it say Melech in that pasuk? All the other 9 psukim all say the word Melech in it, and the obvious answer is because that's precisely what this posuk is all about. This posuk is all about being makabel malchus shemaim, oil malchus shemaim. So even though the actual word melech does not appear, but the whole subject of the posuk is malchus, and that's why it comes first in Shema. Next is Vahoyim Shemoya, which talks about when Klal Yisrael will or won't be makabel the mitzvahs. That's the second subject. And then the third subject, the Mishnah says, is tzitzis, but tzitzis comes last. Why does tzitzis come last? Because tzitzis, the mitzvah, is only bayoim. Whereas vahoyoim shumaya, which talks about mitzvahs in general, that applies bayoim and also balayla. So that's the order of the three parashas. Now, just before we see this Gemara, let's just remind ourselves where these parashas are written in the Torah. Shema Yisrael is written in Parshas Vo'eschana. Vohoyoim Shemoya is written in Parshas Ekev. And Tzitzis is in Parshas Shalach. Which in fact poses a bit of a question. We once saw this, Tosis discusses it. What does the Mishnah mean when it says, why do you say Shema before Vohoyoim Shemoya? That's a rather bizarre question. Of course Shema is before Vahoyim Shemoya, because Shema is in Vayeschanan, and Vahoyim Shemoya is in the next parasha in Akev. So the order makes perfect sense. So what's the question of the Mishnah? So have a look at Tosfos, Yud Dalad Omud Beis, top Tosfos. Lomo kodma parsha shema levahoyim shemoya, says Tosfos. Ve'im toima. And if you will ask, teipak lehei de kodma batoiro. Surely the first parsha of Shema is in fact written first in the Torah. It's kodma. It is earlier on in the Torah than the second parsha, so it makes perfect sense. What's the Mishnah's question? Ve'yesh loima, says Tosfos. No, what this means is as follows. Ochi ka'oma. Lomo kodmo af le parashas tzitzis de kodmo lekulon. You're right. Vayeschanan and then Akev is the right order. But Vayomer is in parashas Shalach. That comes before everything. And that's put last. So you see that clearly we're not going with the order of the Torah. Elo vadai ein onu choshishin lezeh. So you see quite clearly that we're not concerned with this point, shehi koidemes b'Torah. The fact that one comes before another is not of significance, mishum d'amrinam, because we say the famous principle, ein muktam u'mo'ukhar. There's no chronological order in the Torah. Therefore, the very fact that the mere fact that one parasha is written first in the Torah, that itself is not necessarily a reason to mention it first in Shema. Because as we know, the order in the Torah is anyway chronologically not necessarily correct. So therefore, forget the order that is written in the Torah. The MK, therefore, says Tosas, now I'll explain to you the Mishnah's question. Hoyo lonu lahaktim. So we should have given precedence to Vahoya, quote unquote. Why? Shehi medaberes beloshoin rabbi. That is the Mishnah's question. I know full well that Shema is written before Vahoya im Shemaya, but that's not a reason to put it first. Why? Because you see that the order of the parashiyos is anyway not the order of the Torah. And the reason is because ein muktam u'mo'ukhar. So therefore, forget the order of the Torah. So if we would be asked on basis of pure logic, so which parasha should come first? Says Tosas, that's what the Mishnah means. Surely Vahoyam Shemaya should be written first, because there it talks about Artzachem, Lekeichem, Eloshen Rabim. Whereas this parasha that we're dealing with, Shema Yisrael, Shachbucha Ubukumecha, is all Lashon Yachid. That is the Mishnah's question. The Mishnah's question was, why does the parasha of Shema, which is written in the singular, precede Vahoyem Shemoya, which is written in a plural form? To which the answer is, it's true, but you have to first be Mekabel Oil Malchus Shomayim before you can be Mekabel Oil Mitzvahs. But at least we now understand what the Mishnah's question was in the first place. So look in the Gemara now. Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcho, the first word on the line is Yeshua. Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcho, Lomo Kodmo Parsha Shema, etc. Tanya. Reb Shimon ben Yechai Oimer. Now we're going to launch into what seems to be a completely different explanation as to why we have this particular order. That's going to be the obvious question. Why do we need a different explanation? What's wrong with the Mishnah's explanation? But first, let's have a look at this one. Tanya, Reb Shimon ben Yechai Omer, Bedin hu. Bedin over here means logic would dictate. Din sometimes doesn't mean din. Halacha, as in, but rather it means a svara. Bedinu, logic is sheyaktim shema levahoya im shemoya. It makes perfect sense that the parasha of Shema, quote unquote, should come before Vahoya im Shemoya, quote unquote. Why? Shezeh lilmoid, vezeh lelamed. In the first parasha of Shema, says Rashi, Shezeh lilmoid, it says, vedibarto bom, and you shall speak in them. What does that mean, you should speak in them? You should speak divrei Torah, you should learn Torah. So the first parasha of Shema talks about learning Torah. The second talks about teaching Torah. Says Rashi, "Vezeh lelamed, v'lemadetem oisom es b'neichem." It says you will teach your sons. Ve'im loy lomad tchilo, and if you did not at first learn, heich yelamed es bonov. How can you possibly teach your sons? So obviously, learning must come before teaching. You can't teach somebody if you've never learned it yourself. So therefore, if the first parasha talks about learning and the second parasha talks about teaching, it makes perfect sense that that is the correct order. You cannot have teaching before learning. Okay. Now Reb Shimon ben Yechai continues and he says, Vahoyoim Shemoya, quote unquote, Levayoimer. So too it makes perfect sense that Vahoyoim Shemoya, which is the second parasha, should come before Vayoimer, which is the third. Why? Shezeh Lilmoid, Lalamed, it should say. They correct it in the side. Vezeh la'asois. What does it mean, vezeh la'asois? Says Rashi, vezeh la'asois. Vayoymer ein bo elo asya. In the parasha of Vayoymer, there is no lil moedu lalamed, rather asya. Talking about vasisem, should do the tzitzis. So obviously, you cannot do, you first learn, you then teach, and then you put it into action, and you actually do it. So therefore, Rav Shimon ben Yochai is telling you that the order makes perfect sense. You learn, you teach, you apply. Lilmoid, lelamed, and laasos. Fine.
Why can't we, I understand the svara in terms of what he's saying, but why can't we have a situation where, fine, once you learned, then you can apply it, as opposed to the actual teaching in between?
Yeah, that's a good question. Why can't you do lilmoid and then lasis? Once I've learned, I can do one of two things. I can either apply or I can teach. I don't have to teach in order to be able to apply. Yeah, that's a good question. I also thought of that question. I'm not 100% sure. For some reason, the Gemara is assuming that the stage of asiya, of actually an application, must follow on from teaching. Okay, that's the end of Rav Shimon ben Yochai's statement. Now it needs explanation. Why? Says the Gemara, Otu is always a question. Otu, Shema, quote unquote, Lilmoid, Ispei, but Lelamed, Vela, Sois, Lespei. Are you telling me that Shema only has learning in it? It doesn't have teaching and doing? We spoke about lilmoid, learning, lamed, teaching, and lasois, doing. And you said Shema comes first because it talks about learning. Are you trying to insinuate that teaching and doing is not mentioned in Shema? That's not true. Why is it not true? V'haksiv, surely it says, v'shinantem. What does v'shinantem mean? V'shinantem means, and you will teach. So it does talk about teaching, and then it talks about ukasharatem v'chasavtem, tying tefillin and writing mezuzos. That's all asiyah. So actually in the first parasha, it's not only learning, l'chayra, it's teaching, it's doing. That's the first question. And the second question is, v'su, and furthermore, v'hoya im shamoya. You told me that the second parasha contains in it lelamed, teaching. Are you trying to insinuate lelamed hu de'ispei, comma, it only discusses teaching v'la'asois lespei, question mark? Are you trying to insinuate that parasha number two exclusively talks about teaching and not about doing? That's not true. V'hoksiv, it says in it as well, ukasharatem v'chasavtem. And that's asiya. Elo, says the Gemara, hochi ka'omar. We like this phrase, hochi ka'omar. This is what's meant. This is what we really meant. We did not mean to say that parasha number one only talks about learning, and parasha number two only talks about teaching. No. Elo, hochi ka'omar. Rather, this is what's meant. Bedin hu, it makes perfect sense in Svara, Shetekadeim, that you should give Kadima precedence, Neshama Levahoyim Shemoya, Shezeh, because this one, meaning Shema, contains in it Lilmoid, Ulalamed, Velasois. You're quite right. Shema contains in it all three, both learning, also teaching, and also doing. As opposed to Vahoyoim Shemoya, is Levayoimer. So too it makes sense that Vahoyoim Shemoya should precede Vayoimer. Shezeh, Yeshboy Lelamed Vilasois, but Vayoimer Einbo Elo Laasois Vilvad. So it turns out we never meant, and Rav Avraham, this now maybe would answer your question. It turns out that the reason why Shammai is mentioned first is it because it contains in it three separate aspects. Learning, it says v'dibarta bo, teaching, it says v'shinantom, and doing, because it talks about tefillin and mezuzah. So it has three aspects. The second parasha of Oyem Shemoya does not talk about learning at all, but it does talk about teaching, and it talks about asiya, doing. Whereas the third parasha in Tzitzit is no mention of either learning or teaching. Well, therefore, the order makes sense. It's 3, 2, 1. Learning, teaching, and doing. Then teaching and doing. And then merely doing. So it's 3, 2, 1. So the order makes perfect sense. So this is all Rav Shimon ben Yochai's svara. This is all Rav Shimon ben Yochai's svara. With the question being, fine, but why do we need Rav Shimon ben Yochai's svara? What's wrong with what's written in the Mishnah? Says the Gemara, v'tepa klei, mid Rav Yeshua ben Korcha. What's wrong with Rav Yeshua ben Korcha's reasoning in the Mishnah, which was, the reason why Shema comes first is for a different reason, is because you first makabel malchus shamayim, and then oil mitzvahs. Says the Gemara, choda v'oid ka'oma. How do we translate choda v'oid koma? Choda means one, v'oid, and more. Rav Shimon ben Yochai was never coming to argue on the Mishnah. He was just adding to the Mishnah. We have choda v'oid. We have one reason in the Mishnah, and now Rav Shimon ben Yochai is adding another reason. He didn't mean to argue, rather just to add. So, choda, one reason is indeed, kedei, Shiekabel olav oil malchus shomayim. That's true. The reason mentioned in the Mishnah is because you mentioned first kabolas oil malchus shomayim. Tchilo, that comes first. V'achar kach yekabel olav oil mitzvahs. That's the reason of the Mishnah. And nobody disagrees with that. V'oid, and now there is a second reason, mishum de'isbei, because it has in it hani mili achranaisa, all of these other matters as well, meaning learning, teaching, doing. But we never meant that one reason is to the exclusion of the other. Have a look at the second Tosfos. Vayomer, we said, Eino Neheges Elo Vayom. The reason why Vayomer comes third, at least this is why the Mishnah wrote it, is because it contains in it tzitzis, and tzitzis applies only during the day. Mikan Mashma Kreb Shimon. The Omar Beperek Hatcheles, the tzitzis mitzvahs asei shahazman. Tosfos is referring to an enormous machlokes in the Gemara in Menachos. Some are of the opinion that you do, in fact, wear tzitzis by yoim and also balaylo. Reb Shimon is of the opinion it's only by yoim, a big machlokes. Now, one of the big ramifications of that machlokes is for women. We know that women are exempt from time-governed mitzvahs. Is tzitzis considered time-governed or not time-governed? So according to Rav Shimon, tzitzis is only during the day. So obviously that's a time-governed mitzvah, so women would be exempt. If you hold that tzitzis is by yoim and also by laila, then it's not time-governed. Says Tosfos, our Gemara clearly seems to adopt the position of Rav Shimon. Because what did our Gemara say? Which in fact the Mishnah, it says that the reason why tzitzis comes last is because tzitzis is only practiced during the day and not night. Well, if it's only practiced during the day, well, clearly it's a mitzvah aseh shehazman gerom, and that's what Tosfos says. Mikan mashmak Reb Shimon d'omer perek atcheles the tzitzis mitzvah aseh shehazman gerom, and that seems to be the implication, not just implication. It seems to be explicit in our Mishnah that tzitzis is only by day, and therefore it's time governed. V'chein isa bekiddushin, so too this is the way it appears in kiddushin. The Ka'omar, it says there that tzitzis is a mitzvah aseh shehazman gerom. Fine. Says Tosfos ve'im toimar imkein leman do omar tzitzis choivas talis hu va'afilu munachas bekufso afilu hochi chayeves betzitzis heichi ashkechon sheyehei hazman groma. There is a very big machloikus in Menachos. Do you have to put tzitzis on your talus if you're not wearing the talus, or only if you're wearing the talus? One opinion is that tzitzis is a chayvas hatalus. Whether you are or are not wearing the talus is irrelevant. Even if the talus is kept in your cupboard, in your drawer, it still needs tzitzis. If that's the case, it doesn't really make sense then. So what does that mean that tzitzis is not practiced at night? What does that mean? It hardly means that every night you go to your cupboard and you rip the tzitzis off the talus. So what does that mean? If you hold that you're only mechuyev to put on tzitzis if you wear the beged, so then I understand. Then you're only mechuyev if you wear the beged at daytime, but if you wear talus nighttime, then you're not mechuyev to put tzitzis on. That makes perfect sense. But if you tell me you've got to put tzitzis on whether you wear it or not, so how does that manifest itself? What does it mean? Nighttime is not the zman of tzitzis. What does that mean? You've put the tzitzis on, it's on the beged, and even if it's in the drawer, it's going to be mechuyev with tzitzis. Again, vim toima, im kein. Even if the talis is resting in a box, kufsa is a box, it's nonetheless obligated in tzitzis. So how will you ever find shehei hazman groma? In what way is it time governed? It's nothing to do with your wearing. I'll tell you. De'im hoya kusus, if it would be a garment, hamayuchad lelayla, then it would be potter. You have one type of beged, which is a specific daytime beged. Your regular shirt, your talus. Then you have a nighttime beged, whatever, a pair of pajamas. Everybody agrees that pajamas is a beged layla. A beged layla, a kusus layla, is exempt from tzitzis, even if you hold that you don't need to wear the beged in order to be obligated with tzitzis. It can be sitting in your closet, and you're still chayev with tzitzis, but that's only if it is a beged yoim. If it's a beged laila, if it's a beged that you only wear at night, you are exempt. If that's the case, you see it's very much zman gromo. You see that the mitzvah is still very much dependent on this important element of time. Not the wearing, but rather what type of garment is it? If it's a nighttime beged, if it's a pair of pajamas, even if it's got four corners, you do not need to put tzitzis on, and in that respect, it's time governed. Says Tosfos, V'hochi isa b'Yerushalmi d'kiddushin. So too, this is the way it appears in the Gemara in Yerushalmi Kiddushin. It says there, Omar lehem, Reb Shimon said to them, Iyatom moedem li, aren't you going to admit to me that tzitzis is a mitzvah seishas man groma? Why? Shaharei ksus laila potter mina tzitzis. Because a nighttime beged is exempt from tzitzis. So you see that Reb Shimon clearly stated that the mere fact that it is a beged which is designated for nighttime usage, that is itself a reason to exempt it from tzitzis, and because of that, is considered as mangrum. Omer Rav Ila, Taimed Rabbanon, Sh'im Hayom Miyuchad L'loim V'layla, Shechayev B'tzitzis. Okay, we're veering off into Hilchot Tzitzis discussion. We'll leave it over here. But the bottom line is, we paskin, and that's why this toast is very important, because this is in fact halacha ulamaisa, that tzitzis is only an obligation during the day and not during the night. Which means, for example, technically speaking, imagine you would get undressed or you would take a shower at 9 o'clock at night. You don't go into your pajamas, you then get dressed again. Do you have to put your tzitzis back on? Me'ikar adin, not. Certainly, if you do, you would not make a bracha on them. You do not make a bracha on tzitzis at night because there's no obligation. Practically, you would put your tzitzis back on because we practically always ensure that when you're walking around, whenever it is day or night, you wear your tzitzis. But you cannot make a bracha unless it's daytime. Even though, as we mentioned, it's a machloikas, but we paskin like Reb Shimon that tzitzis is only a chiyuv bayoim, not balayla, and it's for that reason that number one, we only make a bracha if it is bayoim, and number two, women are exempt. If it would be an obligation bayoim and also balayla, then women would not be exempt. So Allah l'maisa, if you take your nighttime shower, but then you get dressed again, yes, you should put your tzitzis back on, whether it's the one you are wearing during the course of the day or a different pair of tzitzis, it makes no difference. You should put your tzitzis on, but you do not make a bracha. By the way, there is a halacha which is perhaps not well enough known. I know we're veering off subject, but it's a very, very important halacha to know. When we put on our tzitzis, our talis cotton, in the morning, we do not make a bracha on it, as we know. Why? Because later on we're going to put on our big talis, and the bracha on the talis incorporates the talis cotton. That would not be the case if, for example, you get changed during the day and you're putting on a fresh pair of tzitzis. This is, of course, most common, for example, on Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, you have your Friday afternoon shower at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You now get fully changed into your Shabbos clothes, including a fresh pair of tzitzis. Then you have to make a bracha. People don't know this halacha. So at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you have to make a bracha, you put on your tzitzis, asher kitshon v'seisa v'tzivonu, al mitzvahs tzitzis. For the obvious reason, there is no talis to exempt it. There's no talis to exempt it. Whereas in the morning, there is. I'm just now thinking to myself, what would be, mind you, I'm not quite clear, on Erev Yom Kippur. On Erev Yom Kippur, we do put on our talis just before Kol Nidre, and it's still daytime, and you make a bracha, it's atef batzitzis. So would that include the talis cotton in the afternoon?
Wouldn't it depend on the amount of time? Because there's another example that I think I remember is that if, for example, you get up early in the morning, you put on your talis katan, but you're going to Yerushalayim because you want to daven at the Kosel, then you would make a bracha because there's a big difference of time,
right,
from the time that you get dressed until you actually put on your talis katan.
Yeah, I think you're right. So I mean, again, Erev Yom Kippur as well. So it would be relevant. For example, if someone is, let's say, having his suda mafsekes, and then he's then having a shower, which is not recommended, but then he's going to put his talis on, you know, half an hour later in shul, so maybe then it would be incorporated. Okay, that needs to be double-checked. Okay, I have to hold it over here, as mentioned. Yeah, Rav Nachum.
Did the Rav say this is for the same pair of tzitzis by a shower?
No.
Or is it a new pair of tzitzis?
Right, only a new pair of tzitzis. If after the shower you're putting the same pair of tzitzis back on, then you do not make a bracha. But if it is a new pair, that's why I gave the example on Erev Shabbos, but it could be any day, then you would make a bracha. Because the bracha you made in the morning only included your first pair of tzitzis, but not your new talis. Okay, my dear friends, we're going to hold it over here. I guess we've taken a short break now for a few weeks. And we'll resume I guess in all likeliness it'll still be in Zoom format, the way things are looking at the moment. But okay, it's a good thing. I'm trying to make the best of what it is. And meanwhile, I wish you all well. I'm not sure at the moment. I'm assuming there will not be a parasha shiur tonight.
Okay.
But they'll send out email lunchtime. I have to confirm. Not sure what my program is today. But either way, if I don't speak to you before Yom Kippur, I wish you all a gemarach siman teva. Everyone should feel well, and we should just continue here. Be'ezus Hashem, b'suris tevis.
Amen. Gemarach siman teva.